Okay. Everybody have a seat. Let's go. Ready?
Oh, sure.
Okay. There's no theme to the two Rambans today, otherwise, other than I find it hard, as we know, to find Rambans where he agrees with the Ibn Ezra. I think I got two in a row today where the Ramban either agrees with or builds on the Ibn Ezra. Okay. The first one is an idea I heard from Rav Bick. Rav Bick likes to call it the Ramban that doesn't exist. It's the Ramban on the Pasuk, but the Ramban on the Pasuk doesn't exist. You have to get it from a different Pasuk. So let's start. Beginning of the parasha, somebody wants to... Normally, you're an Eved Ivri because of one of two reasons. What happened? You sold yourself or Bezin sells you. Fine. So how? What's the maximum?
6 years.
But if you really like it, so then you want to say, then our pasuk. V'higisho Adonav elho Elohim, v'higisho al adelas olam zuzah. Okay, you bring him to who?
Elohim.
What's Elohim? Bezdin. Everybody knows that it's Bezdin. So even if you know it's Bezdin, you still need to be bothered by the same question the Ramban is bothered by, which is, the Torah knew how to say Bezdin. Why does the Torah refer to Bezdin as Elohim or Elohim, depending on...
Huh? Does it ever say Bezdin?
It knows how to say Bezdin. I don't know. Yes, it does.
It's Hebrew.
Okay, so here goes. So the Ramban says, V'gisha Adonav Elho Elohim LeBezdin. It's actually, this is not the Ramban, this is the Mechilta. You take him to Bezdin. What does that mean? Tzorech Sheyim Lach B'mochrav Shemachruhu Lo. The Mechilta is very simple. Why do you go to Bezdin? Well, Bezdin are the people who sold him. They sold him for a maximum length of time. So if he wants to change the terms of the original sale by Bezdin, you go back to Bezdin. Okay, that's a technicality. That's why we know that the word Elohim means Bezdin. But now the question is, why do we use that word? Huh? To consult with. Vam Rabbi Avraham. King Nikru Hashoftim Elohim. Why are judges called Elohim? Ba'avur Shehem Mikaimei Mishpeteho Elohim Ba'aretz. Because it is their job to institute or enforce the rules of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Okay, that's a very simple idea, and it's certainly true. Everybody would agree that Bezdin's job is to implement HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rules in this world. Now the Ramban builds on that, and he says, Ulida'ati yomar hakatu v'higisho Adonav elho Elohim, or adho Elohim yavod v'ashnehem. There are many places where the Torah refers to the judges as Elohim. Lirmoz ki ha Elohim yihyeh imahem bidvar hamishpat v'hu yatzdik v'hu yarshia. This is an important line, because I think the Ramban means it literally. You could say, the Ramban is saying broadly in some kind of vague way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. Whenever there's a court, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spirit is there. But I think the Ramban is saying something much more profound. The Ramban is saying God is literally present, and not just that God is literally present, but hu yatzdik v'hu yarshia. It is God who convicts and God who acquits, which is quite a statement. And you'll see why I think this is true anyway. Well, certainly why Rav Bick thought it was true. We'll keep reading. V'zeu she'amar asher yarshiyun Elohim. Right, you never thought of that before. Once you know that the word Elohim refers to Bezdin, so you stop thinking of it as being Elohim in the original. When you just look at the words Asher Yarshiun Elohim, literally, what does it mean? He who God finds guilty. The Ramban takes that seriously. V'kach amar Moshe, ki amishpat le'elohim hu. Right? Justice is given over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kach amar Yehoshaphat, ki lo la'adam tishpitu ki la'shem, v'imchem bidva amishpat. God is with them in judgment. Same exact idea. Klomar, bikev adat Elohim yishpot, ki ha Elohim hu hashofet. The Ramban couldn't be any clearer. Literally, you stand in front of three human beings, but the real judge in a properly constituted Bezdin, the real judge is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Torah keeps calling them Elohim. Okay? Now, v'chein amar v'amdu shnei anashim ha-shalohim ha-riv lifnei Hashem. V'zetam, this is the reason for the pasuk of Kilo Astik Rasha. Okay, the pasuk of Kilo Astik Rasha is in this week's parsha, and he says Ala Perush Hanachon. So what does the Ramban mean when he says this is the pshat in the pasuk of Kilo Astik Rasha Ala Perush Hanachon? It means there's another perush out there that the Ramban disagrees with. Okay, let's look at the pasuk. Go to the bottom of this Ramban. I quoted the pasuk here. The pasuk says, "Midvar sheker tirchak." Okay, stay away from non-truth or from lies. V'naki v'tzadik al taharog ki lo atzdik rasha. Okay, don't kill or don't find guilty a naki v'tzadik. And also, I will not atzdik rasha. I will not acquit the guilty. So what does this mean? It's a strange pasuk. So everybody knows it's the Rashi. It's the Rashi that the Ramban is referring to. Everybody look at it. So how do we know that if somebody was acquitted by Beis Din and then a witness shows up and says, I have testimony that will convict him, that we don't... I'm sorry, the opposite. How do you know that a person was found guilty by Beis Din and then somebody shows up and says, no, I have evidence to acquit him, shemachzirno, so that you reopen the case. Tamulom of Naki al Tarog, v'zeh afal pi sheino tzadik, shalom nit tzadik beBeis Din. He's not tzadik, because tzadik is a relative term that refers to the judgment of Beis Din. Nevertheless, mikol makom naki hu midin misa, shari yesh lo lizakoto. You're supposed to go back and reopen the case to acquit him. Conversely, uminayin liyotzim miBeis Din zakai. Right, he was acquitted. And now a witness comes and says, I want to give testimony that would convict him. Not that he's really a tzaddik, but he was acquitted. In this context, Rasha and tzaddik mean convicted and acquitted. They don't mean in objective terms a Rasha and a tzaddik. Okay? This is the drasha. Okay? Now, what does it mean, Kilo Atzdik Rasha? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry about who should have been convicted but was acquitted. I'll take care of it. So Rashi quotes, Ein Alech Alach Zero. You don't have to return him. Ki Ani Lo Atzdikenu Bedinai. Because I won't acquit him in real life. Im Yatsa Miyadcha Zaka Yesh Li Shluchim Harbe Lahamiso B'Misa Shenitchayev Ba. I have many ways to kill a person who was incorrectly acquitted by Beis Din. What's the most famous? What's the most famous? Yes. In the case of Golos, what does Hakadosh Baruch Hu say? A person who was improperly, who never went to Beis Din, he's on top of the ladder. The killer's on the bottom of the ladder. Basically, the Medrash says that Hakadosh Baruch Hu has ways to fix mistakes by Beis Din. That's Rashi. Rabik's idea was, when you look for the Ramban in this pasuk, it's not there. It's our Ramban. Rabik's idea, and I believe it to be absolutely true. The Ramban thinks it's not like a metaphor. Ramban thinks that if the Beis Din acquits, that's God's desire. That it's God's desire to acquit this person, just like if Beis Din convicts, it's God's desire to convict. Now, what does this mean in the real world? When a guilty person was convicted, or an innocent person was acquitted, a guilty person was acquitted, or an innocent person was convicted, that's very hard to work out. But his idea was that the Ramban takes seriously this idea that Dayanim are Elokim, and when the Torah says Kilo Atzdik Rasha, it means because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want it to happen, so he won't allow it to happen. Not like the Medrash that he'll fix it later, but what Beis Din does, it's not that God is present, but it's that God is acting through Beis Din. And if somebody's acquitted, it's because that is God's desire, and if somebody's convicted, it's because that is God's desire. What we struggle with is, we know obviously in halacha, you know, a Beis Din that killed every 70 years was considered a bloody Beis Din, right? There's a real bias towards acquittal in, not in Dine Mamunas, but in Dine Nefashas in halacha, right? Sometimes that bothers us. But here the Ramban, and so we like to pretend that the answer is, okay, it bothers us that Beis Din can't convict, but don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch will handle it in his own way. But here the Ramban is saying it's not true. When Beis Din acquits, it's because that is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what happens beyond that? I don't know. But I know that the Ramban takes seriously that it's not just a metaphor that Beis Din represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that Beis Din acts, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu more precisely, acts through Beis Din. And when the Pasuk says later in our Parsha, V'naki v'tzadik al taro ki lo atzdik rasha, it means it literally, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow a guilty person to be found innocent. And the reverse, he will allow, because he has his own cheshbon, but it's not a mistake. When a properly constituted Beis Din paskins, that becomes the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because that's the final judgment, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually acts through the Beis Din. It's a hard concept to accept, because we we're so used to second-guessing batei dinim, second-guessing secular courts, certainly, but also second-guessing batei dinim because they're not, unfortunately, they're not one of the institutions that are held in high regard nowadays. But the answer is a properly constituted Beis Din is supposed to reflect in its judgment the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come afterwards and fix it, but it actually represents the will. Okay? That's the first Ramban. He agrees with Ibn Ezra, but he takes him one step further. And I believe that when the Ramban says that this is the real pshat, he means to disagree with the Rashi later on, who quotes the Medrash saying that Nakivit Sadiq Al Tarog is, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fix it later. The Ramban means, no, right now you're going to get it right because that's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Huh? Oh, because when you on the real pasuk of In Vashekhet Tirchak, there's no Ramban. It's on our pasuk of El Ha Elokim that the Ramban tells you his revolutionary pshat on the pasuk that he doesn't comment on.
The Ramban holds that way. Then what? Then how do we explain the case where he was chayav and then we bring the ed to testify that he's innocent?
Oh, how could it ever happen?
That's what God wanted.
No. So the Ramban believes that if that aid doesn't come, then he was guilty. And if the aid does come, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be acquitted. But the ultimate result, as enforced by Beis Din, is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It couldn't be otherwise. Okay, I admit, we don't have the time to play it out. It's a hard concept, but I'm sure that that's what the Ramban means. Okay, now, we needed to do this one because it's, you know, in the discussions, the pasuk always comes up. Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein. Right, what's the case? It's a fight. And the Torah says, you know, what's the punishment? Ayin tachas ayin. And we all know that it doesn't mean it literally. We all know what it really means is mamon. So first, just to point out the obvious. Ayin tachas ayin comes out two places in the Torah. In our parasha, you should know, there's more wiggle room. It's really an emor, if you flip over, it's really an emor where there's no wiggle room at all, because there the pasuk says, V'ish ki yitein mumba amito, ka'asher asa kene aselo. That, you know, the simple pshat of that pasuk means what? You do. He gave you a black and blue mark. You give him a black and blue mark. And then that pasuk says, "Shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, kaashe yitein mum ba adam kein inasen bo." Most of the action on ayin tachas ayin takes place in our parsha because it's the first place that it appears in the Torah. But you should know that mefarshim are colored by the fact that the pasuk in Amor is much more explicit. I think if you just had our pasuk ayin tachas ayin, there wouldn't be that much discussion about it because there's more room to play with it. It's the psukim and amor that lock us in. So now, very interesting. I have one point to make here. Look at the Ramban. Ayin tachas ayin. So the first thing Ramban says, look, hayadua b'kabalat rabotenu shehu mamon. Okay? We know from the Mechelta and from the Gemara in Baba Kama that even though the simplest reading of ayin tachas ayin is literal, it doesn't mean literally, it means money. V'yavo kalashon hazeh b'tashlumin. And you see a similar lashon with respect to payment. Umakei nefesh behema yishalmeno nefesh tachas nefesh. There the pasuk says, makeh behema what? Yishalmeno. Yishalmeno only has one meaning. It means to pay. Even though right afterwards it says nefesh tachas nefesh. So you see there that sometimes the Torah used the phrase, you know, one under another, and it doesn't mean it literally. It doesn't mean one for one. It means payment. V'amar Rabbi Avraham, and he quotes the Ibn Ezra again, ki kavanat hakatuv lomar shu chayav bekach im lo yitein kofro. The Ibn Ezra has a very interesting pshat. The Ibn Ezra says, he kind of grants, that yes, the simplest meaning of the pasuk is literal, is ayin tachas ayin, but that's only the result im lo yitein kofro, meaning the punishment should be ayin tachas ayin, but you could buy your way out of it. Literally, you could ransom your way out of ayin tachas ayin by way of payment. What? You'll have to help me with that. Okay. V'hakatuv oser oleinu. Now, what about the fact that the Torah in many places says you can't bribe a judge? All of a sudden, even as it says, like the simple pshat is, well, you'll have to lose your eye unless you pay, which sounds like a bribe. So he says, V'hakatuv oser oleinu shaloni kach kofa l'nefesh rotzeh ashehu rasha lamut. You can't do it for capital crimes. Aval nikach kofer b'mishehu rasha lichrot eiver me'evarav. It's as if the Torah literally said, you can't take a ransom for somebody who's chayv misa, but you are allowed to take a ransom for somebody who's chayv one of his evarim, like the case of money, like ayin tachas ayin. V'lachein, but now he goes further, he says, V'lachein, lo nichrot oto lo olam. There will never be a case of ayin tachas ayin literally, Aval yishalem kimei domyo. But you'll always pay the monetary price of the eye. What? So v'imein lo yihyed damav alav chov asher tasig yado v'nigal. Because the Ibn Ezra says ultimately, it's not that. The Ibn Ezra is in a kind of a quandary. He wants to grant you pshuto shel mikra, which sounds like ayin tachas ayin, but it's not the result. So he says, I'll say it this way: it's like the Gross says. Ask the question. Let's say we all accept the fact that ayin tachas ayin is mamon. So why did the Torah write ayin tachas ayin? Okay, so the Gross says something. So the Gross says because in some world of pure justice, ayin tachas ayin is the right result. In the real world, ayin tachas ayin doesn't yield a moral result, but the Torah wanted you to know that in some pure world of justice, ayin tachas ayin would be the right answer. I think that the Ibn Ezra is not following the Gra, obviously, but I feel like the Ibn Ezra is trying to get to that same point, which is the simplest reading is ayin tachas ayin literally, but the Torah doesn't want that result, even though it lists it as one of the possible results. Now, the point I really want to make is the following. Just go to the very end of this Ramban. The Ramban at the end says, the Ramban tries to prove to you that the Pshuto Shel Mikra really is money. And he says, V'haklal ki ha-kabbalah b'chol makom emet. And no, at the end, there's really nothing to discuss because the Kabbalah is the truth. What's the Kabbalah? That ayin tachas ayin means money and not actually literally poking out the other guy's eye. Now, it's hard to know what the Ramban means in this line. One possibility is the Ramban seems to be saying that even if you just play with Pshuto Shel Mikra, you will find that the truth of the Chazal statement that Ayin Tachas Ayin should not be understood literally. Or the Ramban is saying, even if you can't prove it in the literal reading of the Pasuk, when we have a Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu, I think the Rambam says that there was never a frum Jew in the history of the world who thought Ayin Tachas Ayin should be understood literally. Because from the time we got that Pasuk, it was brought down from Sinai with the explanation that ayin tachas ayin means mammon. I think what's going on here, you can see it more clearly in the Rambams. Look at two Rambams in Chovel Umazik, and we'll finish with these. The Rambam says as follows in Perek Aleph. Nezek keitzad. How do you pay nezek? Shim kata yad chaveo o raglo. If you cause the loss of your friend's arm or leg, ro'in oto kiluhu evan, nimkar b'shuk. You basically estimate his value. Kama haya yafeh v'kama hu yafeh. How much would he have been worth with his leg? How much is he worth today? U'mishalem ha'pachot shifchit midamav. And the person has to pay that which was lost from his value. Shenemar ayin tachas ayin. How do you know that's what it means? Mipi ha'shmua lamdu shezeh shenemar tachas l'shalem mamon hu. The Rambam says, ayin tachas ayin, we have mipi ha'shmua b'kabbalah, that means money. Okay, three halachas later, the Rambam says as follows. Why is the Rambam even talking about it now? He already told us we have b'kabbalah that ayin tachas ayin means mammon. So now the Rambam is still bothered by this. Three halachas later, he says, how do we know it's mammon? Shenemar chabura tachas chabura. U'bepeyu shenemar v'chi yake ish esreyu be'evan o'begro. Rak shivto yitin v'rapo yirape. Halamadta shetachas shenemar b'chabura. Tashlumin. The Rambam says you see in one place that the word tachas means monetary payment. V'huadin l'tachas hanemar ba'ayin u'bishar evorim. Therefore, it's also tachas, and our pasuk means tashlumin. You see something fascinating in the Rambam that I think applies to all Rishonim, and it hasn't changed to this day. On the one hand, we accept with 100% certainty that ayin tachas ayin, as given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, means mammon. On the other hand, we can't help but try to prove that it's in the Pesukim. We don't need it. We have complete belief in Torah Misinai and Halacha Moshe Misinai that it means Tashlumin. Yet, you see the Rambam so clearly here, having established that's the Kabbalah, that it means, Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mammon. He wants to prove to you from the Pesukim that it means Mammon. The same exact way that the Ramban tries to do it, the same exact way that the Torah Tmima tries to do it, the same exact way that anybody who looks at the Pasuk tries to do it. And they're not inconsistent. And that's the point I want to make. On the one hand, we believe Be'emuna Shlema that every Jew in the history of the world always understood Ayin Tachas Ayin as meaning Mammon. On the other hand, we can't help ourselves. Right? We want to find that explanation in the Pasuk. It would be the Pshat anyway, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, we can't help ourselves. And here you see the Rambam doing it, you see the Ramban doing it, you see many Mefarshim doing it. You think to yourself, oh, if they're unsuccessful, then will Pshat really return to the literal reading? The answer is, of course not. Not for the Ibn Ezra, not for the Ramban, not for anybody. But nevertheless, they're not contradictory. And that's kind of, I feel the same way for us. Once we accept the absolute binding truth of Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, now we could play. There's nothing wrong with trying to see how a Medrash Chazal actually existed in the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So long as I once heard Rav Lichtenstein say this in a debate with Rav Yoel Ben Nun. He said it doesn't bother him, all of the modern scholarship trying to find explanations for Chazal, so long as the starting point is Chazal are right, whether I find the explanation or not. If that's your starting point, now it's a fantastic exercise to try to find, for example, how Chazal knew that when the Malachim came to Lod, it was Pesach. All these great ideas that we have now, but they all start with the same part, the same point, which is, it was true to begin with. Once it's true to begin with, to try to find Pshuto Shel Mikra that explains Ayin Tachas Ayin, it starts with the Ramban and it goes to Rav Breuer. Rav Breuer has this amazing piece in which he proves to you that Ayin Tachas Ayin was the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Not because without his piece we wouldn't know it. We would know it. But so what? Knowing it and then being able to see it in the Pesukim, it leads you to a level of intellectual understanding and I think a level of Amuna that you wouldn't have otherwise. So again, final point, both things exist at the same time. We have a Kabbalah, as the Ramban says, what we receive is the absolute truth. That said, it's fun to try to figure it out on our own if we can. Shkach.